Happy Mother's Day. I was looking at this all week and thinking about Mother's Day, and yes, I did get a gift for Brenda, the mother of my children, and it's on the way. She might not get it by Sunday, but it'll be here quick. And it's the thought that counts, right? I was thinking about Mother's Day and what it is really all about, because so many times our holidays can get lost in what happens in our world. Anna Jarvis, who is considered by most to be the mother of Mother's Day, conceived the day way back when as a way of honoring the sacrifices that mothers made for their children. That was her intention and her goal. Now, we know that it has become commercialized to the point over the years, to the point where we spend over $20 billion, that's with a B, $20 billion a year on Mother's Day in the United States. But even at that, what we most recognize about our mothers is not that they're expensive. Not that we're spending all that money on moms. It's not that they're expensive. They are loving. And I want us to think about a mother's love today. We see that love in action in our moms all the time as they're sacrificing and caring for the needs of their children. All the time, but especially during this pandemic where we're locked down at home and things are added to their normal things that moms have to do for their kids. They're adding now school teacher and mask maker and tech guru and fear counselor, and the list goes on and on as our mothers are juggling all these different responsibilities on their to-do list. And the motive for all of those things, why do our moms do that? It's love. They love their kids. They love their family. When I think of a mother's love, what comes to my mind is unconditional love that the Bible talks about as the love of God. Now, I didn't always recognize it at the time, but I know that my mother loved me unconditionally. And believe me, I made it very hard on her way too often. I tested those conditions, and she always loved me. Unconditional love is not unique to mothers, and it should be prevalent in every Jesus follower, as it is the character of God Himself. The Bible says very clearly and succinctly in 1 John 4 that God is love. And if that's our God, and He is known by His love, then shouldn't we also represent that in our lives? So while we honor mothers today for their unconditional love, be reminded that every one of us, every one as Jesus followers, should desire and display that same type of love, both to God and to everyone that He loves. Every Jesus follower needs to make living unconditional love a priority in their lives. So let's talk about what a mother's love, what unconditional love looks like, and how we can cultivate that in our lives. Being aware of what it looks like helps us to say, oh, if I acted this way, that would be loving like Jesus. So we're going to look at God's Word, and it makes sense that if we're going to talk about love and God's love for us and our love for one another, that we would turn to the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to look there. We're going to consider the whole chapter, but I want to focus in on what Paul says about this to us as Jesus followers. In chapter 12, at the very end of chapter 12, he begins and introduces this love chapter by describing what he called a more excellent way. More excellent than the gifts of the Spirit to the body of Christ that he had just been talking about. All those great things, and those are a wonderful gift. But he said, this is a more excellent way. And then he goes on to talk about love. God's unconditional love. Agape love. The word that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is agapeo. And it's the verb form of the word agape. The noun. So when Paul writes that love is patient and kind, that love is not arrogant or rude or self-seeking. The list goes on and on. Look at that in 1 Corinthians 13. When he talks about that, what love is, he's saying that to be loving is to act with patience. To be loving is to act kindly toward one another. To be loving is to act without arrogance or rudeness or self-seeking. All those things that he lists, those are verbs. In his expository dictionary of the New Testament words, W.E. Vine described agapeo, saying, "Love can be known only from the actions that it prompts." And so I want us to focus in here, this description of unconditional love, on verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 13. Where Paul's kind of pulling this all together, all the thoughts in the previous description, he pulls it all together and he says this: love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And it's important for us, first of all, to note that with each of these, it's that same thought, that whatever the action is, it is regarding all things. And that tells me that this unconditional love of God, that love that he wants us to have in our lives as well, has no limits. No limits. That's the meaning of unconditional. It covers all things, always, no limits. In Jeremiah 31, God said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." No limits. "Therefore, I have continued to extend faithful love to you." It just keeps going and going and going. When I read these descriptors that love bears and believes and hopes and endures, I see them linked together as pairs. So first consider that love unconditionally believes and hopes. Love unconditionally believes and hopes. Now, when we talk about believing all things, I want you to understand, he's not talking about us being gullible or blind in this love. That's not what he's talking about. The word believe literally means a persuasion, a conviction that something is true. And so I want you to think for a moment. How are you persuaded about something? What is it that makes something a conviction? How do you form your convictions in life? Normally, it's by the way things appear. We look at the data, we see how things look, what they look like in our lives, and then we form a conclusion. We make a conviction. We're persuaded that this is the truth. But that's not how unconditional love does it, because appearances can be deceiving. Our convictions are things that we know to be true despite the appearances. A mother's unconditional love believes the best about her children. Think about your mom for a little bit. Did she or did she not believe in the good that you could be, irregardless of the times that it didn't look that way? As I said before, I made it very hard on my mom to love me that way, because I continued to make bad choices. I continued to disobey. I continued to go off on my own route and not consider what was right. And she still loved me. Again, it's not gullible or blind. Oh, my mom knew the things I was doing, and we had some very serious conversations about those things. She could see when I failed, but she didn't believe that that made me a failure. Do you see the distinction? Moms will see when you've done something wrong, but they don't believe that it has to define who you are. Unconditional love believes all things. Now, you may choose to remain in that state of doing something wrong, but you know that you always have a choice. And moms know that. And they believe that you can be more than what you are. Unconditional love believes all things. And then I pair that with the idea of hope. because unconditional love hopes all things. The word hope literally means to expect, to anticipate with confidence. And believing all things and hoping all things are two facets on the same diamond. Both are described for us in Exodus chapter 34, where God is talking about Himself here, and He says, The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But He will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the consequences of the father's iniquity on the children and grandchildren to the 3rd and 4th generation. God was telling Israel this right after the experience with the golden calf in Exodus, where they had totally rejected God. And God said, listen, I'm compassionate and gracious and slow to anger. My love is unconditional. It is faithful to you, remaining for 1,000 generations and forgiving iniquity and rebellion and sin. God doesn't deny their sin. He doesn't deny that it exists. He doesn't pat them on the back and say, oh, that's okay, because it's not okay when we sin. There is judgment for that. His unconditional love, though, recognizes that our sin doesn't have to mean that we are forever sinners, destined for destruction. Like a mother who knows her children fail, yet still hopes they will become what she believes they can be, God knows that although judgment is a natural consequence of sin, He also knows that forgiveness and justification are real, and that we, His children, don't have to remain unforgiven. And so He hopes. His love hopes all things. His love is looking ahead, expectant, anticipating with confidence that sin will not control us. And the second part, or the second pair that we want to talk about, forgiveness, and talks about that forgiveness, is that love bears and endures all things. When He uses the word bear, it literally means to roof over, to cover. And I love that, because it's a picture of keeping off whatever threatens harm to the relationship by covering over the offense. This is the forgiveness that the hope of unconditional love focuses on. Like a mother covers the offenses of rejection and failure in the hope of what can be. Discipline will still occur. Oh, I remember those times. But not in vengeance. Instead, the desire is to point out the wrong that was done and direct us to repentance and forgiveness. You see, love carries the offense in hope. The word for bears is used only 4 times in the New Testament, and each of those other 3 times are translated endures. So you see the close connection and why I paired these together. The close connection between bears all things and a love that endures all things. The Greek word that is used for endures in this passage literally means to stay under. To stay under. Which adds to the idea of a weight that one bears and patience in the extent. That it's not like, okay, today I love you, but man, tomorrow it's gone. No, when it says endures all things, it is ongoing. It is that faithful love that endures forever. It has been said that a mother's love never ends, which adds to the idea that we're talking about here, that this enduring quality that is seen perfectly in God's agape love. Bearing and enduring are perfectly seen in how God deals with our sin. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, if anyone is in Christ, he's talking about Jesus followers, every Jesus follower, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Peter agreed with that thought, that God is patient with all mankind because his unconditional love desires all to be saved. When he said in 2 Peter 3, the Lord does not delay in his promise as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. This unconditional love of God was more than just words. It was more than just a concept. It was more than just a warm feeling that God has in His heart for us. Because Jesus lived and died that love for you and for me. In Romans 5:8, Paul reminded us that God proves, puts into action His own love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God bears with our sin without end. Jesus personally endured the heavy burden of your transgression and mine, carrying it all the way to the cross. Unconditional love is seen in a mother's love, but it is defined in God's love for you. Believing, hoping, bearing, enduring all things. I said earlier that every one of us as Jesus followers should desire and display that same type of love for God and for everyone that He loves. Every Jesus follower, we need to make this living in love a priority in our lives. We've seen the description of unconditional love here from God's Word. Now, how do we cultivate that in our lives? Because you know, sin has marred us and it's not a natural response, this kind of love. So how do we do that? All the words that we looked at earlier describing God's unconditional love, every single one of them is a verb. Love is not something you feel. It's something you do. You've heard me say before, and I'll probably keep on saying it because that's the way I am. I like to repeat things. But you've heard me say that God has given every one of us a superpower. And the superpower is choice. You and I get to choose what we do. And it's exactly the same thing here. You have the power to choose unconditional love. To begin with, you have the opportunity to choose to accept Jesus' unconditional love for you. We've heard John 3:16 since we were children. That God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son, and so that everyone who believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. That is accepting the love that God has for you. It's a choice that you make when you're able to say, yes, Lord, I admit I've sinned. Please forgive me. I want Your love and forgiveness. I want Your life in me. I want to follow You and Your way the rest of my days. Some of you who are listening to this have made that decision decades ago. Praise the Lord. Great choice. It's good, though, to be reminded the choices that we make, we continue to act on. Some of you might be listening to this now and saying, well, I never really thought of it that way before. Maybe you've never recognized that you are living in sin, in rebellion to God, who loves you and hopes the best for you. And today you recognize I need to ask for forgiveness. If that's where you're at, you can bow your head right now, right in your living room, wherever you're watching. And just tell God in your own words, Lord, forgive me. I need forgiveness. And I want to accept your love. I want to follow you and your way the rest of my life. And if you pray that prayer right now, God's promise is, because He loves you so, His promise is instant. Anyone who calls on my name, I'll never turn any of them away. As a matter of fact, in Revelation, the picture is that He is standing at the door and knocking, asking you, please, let me in. And if anyone opens the door, He comes in. Anyone. It doesn't matter how much rebellion has gone on in your life in the past. He says, no, I know, I believe, I hope better for you in this unconditional love. Let me in, and we'll change the world through you. The first part is to believe and choose to accept the unconditional love that God has for you in Jesus. The other part of this is that you get to choose to love others like God loves you. Now, you may think that it's impossible, and you may have someone in your mind specifically right now. Don't say their name out loud. All right? But you may have someone in your mind right now that you're saying, well, it's impossible to love them like that. And by your own strength and determination, you'd be right. While you may be able to muster affection for someone based on how lovable they are, based on whether they deserve your love or not, unconditional love is so much more than that. But here's the beautiful thing. Once you have received God's unconditional love through Jesus, once you have accepted Him into your life, you have Jesus in you, and He provides you with a new heart filled with His love, with which you can love others just like He does, unconditionally. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But in Christ, it is possible. And it needs to be the desire that we have as Jesus followers, our choice to love like He loves. Because it's what He wants. In 1 John chapter 4, John wrote to the church and he said, dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see, when you have Jesus in you, you have His unconditional love in you. And it's unconditional. It never ends. No limits. And so if you pour that love out to someone else, it's constantly resupplied. You must choose to submit to Him and do what He says, trusting that He will provide you with all the love that you need. A mother's love is a beautiful thing. They show it to their children in so many ways. And we see how that love resembles the perfect, unconditional love of God. Each one of us has the choice to receive God's love for ourselves, and then to choose to display that love for God and for everyone that He loves. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That great commandment is more than a creed that we say. It's a conviction that we live. Let's pray. Thank you, gracious Father, for the gift that you have given to us in our mothers. Oh, they model your love so well to us. But not just our biological moms. We thank you, Lord, for the spiritual mothers that you have blessed us with. Women who have invested in our walk with you by their prayers, as well as their edifying and compassionate acts that draw us closer to you. Lord, I ask that you would show us clearly this Mother's Day how each of us can receive that love from you and exhibit your unconditional love to one another and the world around us who desperately needs to see you today. We ask that in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.